ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As authorities investigate Saturday's mass stabbing at Westfield Bondi Junction, there are questions about the mental health of the perpetrator and questions around whether he deliberately targeted women. Five of the six killed and eight of the 12 injured were female. Penny Sharp is the leader of the New South Wales government in the upper house and was acting premier when this attack unfolded. Penny Sharp, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
The dead in this horrific crime come from all walks of life. They include the daughter of entrepreneur John Singleton, a new mother whose baby is still in hospital, a refugee. How do you reflect on the loss to the community?
I think the real issue that touches all of us so immediately with this senseless crime is that it was an ordinary day at the beginning of the school holidays. People were going about their business, workers were doing their jobs, and this horror unfolded in front of them in just such a random and terrifying way. So I think for all of us, we just feel like that could have been us, it could have been our kids, and coming to terms with that in what we consider to be a safe community is very difficult.
It's really hard to fathom, and I also want to note that people, of course, in Melbourne also suffered in recent years horrifying attacks on the streets. People have pointed out that this is always horrifying when it happens, and we must stop and pause and work out what's happening. What can you tell us about the condition of those who were injured, including that nine-month-old baby?
Well, we know that there are still eight people in hospital. In some small good news, four people were discharged over the weekend. Some of them are still in a critical but stable condition. The advice that I have around the baby is that she's obviously in ICU, but she's being well cared for. I don't have too much more information other than that. But yes, we still have eight people in hospital, some of them with very serious injuries.
The police commissioner has spoken and said that the offender had focused on women and avoided the men, which is chilling. I wonder what your reflections are on that, because, of course, it was ruled out as terror, but for those women who were disproportionately targeted, although there have been victims who are men, the tragedy is also very, very serious. What are your reflections on that?
Well, I think obviously the priority is to get to the bottom of the investigation to understand far more about the motives of the attacker. That is a very challenging thing to do, and Commissioner Webb's already said this morning and over the weekend that the line of inquiry in relation to targeting women is obviously live. But of course, very concerning that anyone would be targeted in any way. This is a mass violent event where people have lost their lives and many seriously injured. So it's obviously concerning. I don't want to speculate too much. There's a lot of a way to go. What we know about the perpetrator is that he, moved between Queensland and New South Wales. He was mostly homeless at this point in time. We just don't know enough about where he had been or some of those motivations, but obviously police are pursuing all of those.
At a time like this, you can't turn back time, but you can change your processes for the future. Do we need a review on mental health issues and policing and the way to manage these sorts of incidents?
Look, I think that is absolutely an issue that everyone is looking at. It's already been a subject of other events in the past as well. I think that all of the... As we work through this incident, obviously the investigation comes first, and caring and looking after the victims and their families is sort of the priority. But within government, we're obviously looking at all of the reviews that will be undertaken to understand what we can do better. You can always improve, and you can also understand from these terrible events about what could have been done differently and how can we close any of those gaps that exist.
You're acting premier as the attack unfolded. Police responded quickly. What's your assessment of the way this has broadly been handled?
Look, I've been just so impressed, really, with the work that's undertaken. This was a very fast-moving situation on Saturday afternoon. The police were on the scene very quickly. Obviously, Inspector Amy Scott stood up and did what she was trained for, but you hope she never has to do. And we really just want to pay tribute, obviously, to her, but also the other police that were on the scene really quickly. And of course, the strangers who just stood up to look after people that they don't know in a terrifying situation. I think, I've just been completely impressed by all of those efforts that people come together in such terrifying circumstances.
The police officer who shot the attacker has been described as a hero. How is she doing at the moment? Have you reached out to her?
I have not, but I know that the commissioner has spoken to her. Look, we of course just have such gratitude for her, such bravery and courage. I think what she would say and what other police always say is that this is our job, this is what we're trained for, and we were just doing our job. But of course, we know that she saved people's lives as a result of her actions. I'm told that she's doing pretty well. She spent some time with family yesterday. And obviously, all of the support that's being wrapped around her will continue for the days and weeks and months that's needed.
We saw incredible acts of bravery from staff and shoppers. Many of those people will be really traumatised, perhaps for life. What support is available to them?
Look, there's a lot of things being put in place. I mean, we currently, people are laying flowers on Pitt Street Mall, for those that don't know Sydney well. And we have mental health support that's available for anyone who sort of shows up and wants to have a word. We've got extra support onto our mental health line in New South Wales, but there's also going to be very specific victim support through our agencies. Our first responders have their own support services that are already being put in place. So, look, I think it's going to get harder over the next few days and weeks rather than easier as people come to grips with what's happened. There's a lot of people that are still in shock. Our message to people, whether they witnessed this or whether they're just feeling concerned about it, is to reach out and to talk to people. There is support there for people for you to talk to and for others in the community to just, look after each other. We've provided information to schools in the local area so that to help, kids process this when they see the news. So everything that we can do at this point is really being put in place.
The attacker had moved to New South Wales from Queensland about a month ago. He was known to Queensland police. Should he have been on the radar of authorities in New South Wales? Is that an issue that you're concerned about, the way that the cross-jurisdictional issues here?
Look, again, all of these things will be looked at, but the point that the advice that we have to date is that this person didn't have the contact he had with police and other services was not it was not crime related. It was welfare checks, and it was as a result of being mental health issues and being a rough sleeper and moving in between a lot of areas. So he wasn't in contact so much directly with the criminal justice system. Our current advice is. I think all of those things will be subject to how we manage that. But someone who's moving between the two states at no fixed address, not really coming to the attention of law enforcement, makes that, I think, pretty difficult. But we'll obviously look at all of those issues.
He was reportedly diagnosed with schizophrenia at 17. Most people with schizophrenia are not dangerous, but it's not clear if he was taking medication. Is what happened on the weekend evidence our mental health system is failing?
Look, the first thing I would say, Patricia, is yes, people with these conditions are not, the vast, vast majority of people are not violent and are not a danger to the community. As we manage people in community settings or whether they present to hospital, that's always an issue that's under review by governments. In New South Wales, we're trying to increase the amount of support, particularly in community settings, because I think that's where people actually interact and where they're accessing services. But look, again, you know, I don't want to, you know, dwell too much on the individual case. All of that information will come to light, and you know, no stone will be left unturned in terms of understanding that. We're obviously talking in government with, you know, our mental health minister, Minister for Mental Health, who is Rose Jackson, and all the senior members of the government as we unwind and process this. We're of course always looking for how we can improve all of the services that we have for people with mental health issues.
Penny, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Penny Sharp is the leader of the New South Wales Labor government in the upper house and was acting Premier on Saturday as this unfolded. Premier Chris Minns was on holidays overseas. He's flown back to Sydney now, of course, to manage the political leadership that's needed in New South Wales as people all around the country are trying to get our heads around this. But certainly, I think if you're a Sydney sider, this is a pretty disturbing period of time.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.